Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Speaking this morning on agri-development and tourism in Siparia, let's welcome to our program here this morning, Chair of the Siparia Regional Corporation, Dinesh Sankarsingh. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Satish. Dinesh Sankarsingh here, Chairman, Siparia Regional Corporation. I'm so pleased to join your very exciting program this morning to talk about Siparia and the other issues that impact upon us.
Well, it's nice to have you. It's nice to have you here this morning. You may need to mute your phone so that we don't have those sounds during the interview. I know that the interview comes at a time when there's a lot of focus on local government. For the obvious reason, we've been talking about local government, the extension, and now, of course, with all that's happening with elections and everything else. And I know we're here to talk about some specific things taking place in Siparia, tourism, agri-development, and all those things. But maybe we should just get a bit from you of what's going on and how the Siparia Regional Corporation is handling some of the challenges at this point in time. The call by the opposition leader for councillors and aldermen and everybody else not to go out to work. The government saying, listen, well, it's all legal. What's happening at the Siparia Regional Corporation in that regard?
Well, Satish, the Siparia Regional Corporation continues to be negatively impacted by the failed decisions of this government. We are in the business of serving people and trying to provide the basic services for them. However, the shortage of funds, the lack of vehicles, the lack of proper political direction has impacted negatively on the people and on the area in Siparia. Satish, as you know, the Siparia Regional Corporation consists of 9 electoral districts, stretching all the way from Pinal to Ikakas. And we have a number of individuals who live, work, and reside in the area. Now, Satish, we have been denied proper funding for a number of years and continue to do so. Now, on a political equation, you know, when they say Siparia Regional Corporation, they equated with the Siparia constituency, which is held by our honorable political leader, the very hardworking and dynamic Mrs. Kamala Prasad Bisesa. But the constituency is different from the regional corporation. Nonetheless, the Siparia Regional Corporation, as I said before, is a very large corporation. We have almost 90,000 residents, and we have a multitude of issues and problems that impact on us, and it is negatively impacting on their lives, and we have to do whatever we can to assist the people as much as possible.
What are with some of the convulsions that have taken place, how has the delivery of service been affected?
Well, Satish, as I said before, the corporation is really controlled by members of the United National Congress. We hold 6 out of the 9 electoral districts. Now, when you have a regional corporation that is supposed to provide very basic services, collecting garbage, cutting the grass, doing what is necessary to provide for our children, and we don't have the money, it impacts negatively on us. Now, let me just bring something to your attention. Given our close proximity to the South American mainland, you would know we have a number of migrants who would have joined our population. So the demands on our services has been increased. Now, this has been compounded by the shutdown of Petrotrin, a major company in the Southland, and the attendant consequences whereby a number of small contractors also had to shut their doors with the shutdown of Petrotrin. And you had people losing their jobs, people losing their homes, people couldn't send their children to school. And the negative effect on this has had a devastated impact on us. And when I say devastating, I mean devastating. People have gone hungry. People cannot provide basic meals for their children. So we at the Siparia Regional Corporation, we have been trying to fill that gap where there's a demand for our services. As I said before, whether it be collecting garbage, whether it be cutting the grass, whether it be providing very basic services for our school children, we try to do whatever we can. But as I said before, we are denied adequate funding. And I am looking forward. Now, Satish, you know, recently Sipari has been featuring prominently in the news in that we have been granted borough status. Now, I have been asking, how does borough status benefit us in any way? And I've been advocating, if borough status means that it is going to improve the quality of lives of people, if it means that we are going to have greater funding to improve the services that we provide, then I welcome it. But Satish, if it is only a name change where we have to spend, and as my political leader, Mrs. Kamala Prasad, has pointed out, rightly so, it will cost almost $2 million. That's just to change the names on vehicles, on street signs, on road signs, on these things. Are we making the right decision, Satish, in spending this kind of money to just change a name to say Sipari Borough instead of Sipari Regional Corporation? I am not saying that there are no merits to it. I'm saying at these challenging economic times, is this a priority? Or should we be seeking to provide for the very basic services for our residents, our school children, our disabled, our elderly folks? How can we assist them instead of squandering and wasting money, Satish? The question remains, and I'm here.
Yeah, but so the decision to head towards borough status, was that not done in collaboration or in discussion with the council and everybody else? It, from what you're suggesting, it sounds like a unilateral decision. Was it?
Satish, the decision to go after or seek borough status was done under a different chairman in the last corporation. And that motion was passed at that corporation. And it went up to, as I said, the cabinet, the parliament, wherever. And that is how it became law now. And that is what they have been telling us. We passed the motion. I'm not denying that. But people passed a motion not understanding the national consequences of that. And I hold no one to blame. But what I'm saying is that the benefits must outweigh whatever disadvantages. And as I said before, if the benefits outweigh the disadvantages, well, I welcome it. But if it is unnecessary spending of money just to change a street sign, then I don't think so. Satish, if you have been to Sipari, we are desperately in need of financial assistance. Satish, let me remind you, anytime a bank closes its doors in an area, it's a sign of economic debt. It's a sign of economic turmoil. It's a sign that the economy is not in a positive direction. And it's sad to say, Satish, but in Sipari proper, two of our banks have closed their doors. That is not a good sign. Satish, if you were to drive through Sipari now, you would see the number of empty buildings. You would see the number of landowners and homeowners who cannot get tenants for their buildings simply because there is a lack of economic activity. And I cannot harp enough that the shutdown of Petrotrin and all the attendant industries that were subsequently shut down has had a tremendous negative impact.
Mm.
So we are trying to provide very basic services. We are trying to encourage the economy. And it is in this regard I was so pleased to have the initiative to talk to you this morning about some of the plans and programs that we can undertake to bring back some sort of economic activity to the area, to empower people, to help them earn a living, to be help them to able to send their children to school, to put basic food items on the table, Satish. That is what we are about under the United National Congress in serving the people.
Yeah, and we'll get to those discussions after these messages. Just about 18 minutes before 8, we are speaking this morning with Chair of the Sipari Regional Corporation, Dinesh Sankarsingh. And when we get back, we'll be discussing some of the developments, some of the things that are going to be used to bolster the economic activity within the catchment area of the regional corporation. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. A special guest this morning, Chair of the Sipari Regional Corporation, Dinesh Sankarsingh. Before we went to the break, we were discussing the economic misfortunes of what's going on in Sipari. We were highlighting the banks closing and all that has been happening since the closure of Petrotrin. And you said that there are some initiatives that the corporation and others are undertaking at this point in time to try to revive economic activity and so on in the community. Let's begin. Let's start dealing with some of them. Tell us about them.
So, Satish, once again, I am fortunate in that being chairman of the Sipa Regional Corporation, I have some of the hardest working councillors and aldermen who are willing to serve the people and do what is necessary. As I said before, given the negative impact of the shutdown of Petrotrin and the attendant consequences to that, we have had to come up with a number of initiatives to help spur the local-based economy. Now, Satish, when we started this term of office here, we started off on good foot. However, unfortunately, we had COVID-19 preventing us from fulfilling all that we were supposed to do. We see agriculture as one of the means by which we can provide employment and help improve the economic situation in our area. As you know, Siparia is traditionally an agriculture-based area. However, it was superseded by the petroleum industry during the heights of its day. And agriculture fell into abeyance and people, you know, turned away. They got a paying job in the company, as we used to say, and neglected the agriculture. However, with the shutdown of Petrotrin and the closure of all the core businesses, people have been turning to agriculture to provide a basic living for themselves, for their children, and for their family. Agriculture has been the key by which people now turn. So subsistence farmers is the norm in Siparia. As you know, Siparia is a huge geographical area stretching all the way from almost Pinal, as I said before, to Ikakas. So you have large tracts of land. Quite a bit of that land was controlled by the petroleum industry and by Petrotrin. That land is now available. You have a number of estates, like the Aziz Estate in Queen Anne Road, that was shut down and is not producing, and you have a lot of idle land. And we have been trying to encourage individuals to get back in agriculture. And it is in this regard, you would know that quite recently an organization that falls under the ambit of the Siparia Regional Corporation, YFARM, and I say proudly so, YFARM has been earning a number of credits, a number of prizes for their initiative in terms of agriculture. So success in agricultural production at a commercial level is something that is possible and can yield tangible economic results. So Satish, I don't want to get personal, but let me tell you something. Satish, I grew up under very humble circumstances. My father was a truck driver, old truck driver with Aziz Ahmad. But you know what sustained my family? My mother, who is now 87 years old and still going as strong as ever, Satish, you don't mind saying that. But my mother was able to sustain her family by agriculture. She wasn't into planting flowers and roses and that, but bodhi, baigan, bhaji, okra, seam, karaili, my mother planted it, and that is what gave us the sustenance. And it is in that regard, Satish, I want to encourage individuals, whether you have a lot of land, a half lot of land, an acre of land, 10 acres of land, agriculture is the means by which you can provide for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. And it is in this area, I am looking at agriculture from a new perspective. I am not looking at agriculture in the traditional way. You go out there with a cutlash and a spade and a hoe and you plant two baigan tree. I am looking at it at a commercial level. And in this context, access to capital from the lending agencies, whether it be banks or other lending agencies, whether it be a government initiative as well, we have to make some finance available for members of the public who want to get involved in agriculture, because as I say, we are trying to encourage individuals to move away from the traditional forms of agriculture and move into educating the population into looking at a new science of agriculture. For a classic example, and it is not too far-fetched, hydroponics. You understand? And as I said before, you have a number of farmers within this area, in the Kura Road area, where they're growing lettuce, they are growing a number of other agricultural products with using hydroponics. We have a number of men and women now looking at new crops. You know, as I said before, traditionally, we're looking at Bodhi, Baigan, Bhaji, Okra, same Karaili. But now we are looking at new crops like kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, because there is a great demand. Satish, you ever want to try to buy some broccoli in the supermarket? Very expensive, but it is also very, very nutritious for you, and it is good for your body. So I want to encourage others to get into the production of these new types of agricultural produce. Look, Satish, yesterday my wife had to go and buy some pineapple. Satish, it's a very excellent price for pineapple. So, you know, people, there is a market for agricultural products and agricultural produce. We just have to take the initiative and provide that using whatever means necessary. Pawpaw, what we call papaya, is in demand all the time. Satish, plantain. These are all in huge demands even as we speak. And the prices are quite impressive. So if you are able to supply a demand on the market right now, you have the ability to earn extra income. You have the ability to go into areas where that were not traditional. And you have the opportunity that people can now use agriculture to provide for their families and provide a decent income. But you understand, have a vehicle for your family, provide a house for your children, to send your children to school.
But it sounds great, and it's honorable to have people return to the sustainable way of earning a living. But how is this going to work? Who's the target audience, and would people need to have their own land? Is this going to be set up in people's homes? And where is the funding going to come from?
Right, so Satish, I'm glad you asked that question, because it is an amalgamation of all three. We have been encouraging the former state enterprises that have a large land capacity under their control to divest some of that land acreage and put it in the hands of the potential farmers. We have been encouraging those who have land holdings to make it available for agriculture and to encourage them to get into agriculture. And we have been encouraging those who have even a small, as I said before, whether it be one lot or one plot, to utilize it. Because the agriculture we are focusing now does not necessarily require a large acreage, but it requires just a small plot of land that you can do a multitude of things on it in terms of the new science of agriculture. And we want to approach this new dimension through education. So we have to, as I keep saying, and I want you to understand, and I want the population to understand, we have to change the mindset of our people. Agriculture, as I said before, is not putting on an old shoe and taking a cutlash and going and cutting grass. And agriculture, there's a new dimension to it now. We have to take a scientific approach. The issue of dirty hands and using dirty boots to do agriculture has now changed, and we are now utilizing the improved technology that is available to help people to make better use of whatever limited resources they have. What? We, as I said before, we have been encouraging the financial institutions to make the funding available, even the state agencies where they provide grants, and even funding agencies, high commissions, and those other areas that provide seedling. We encourage them, and we are encouraging people. But you see, the mindset, the traditional mindset, Satish, where people think agriculture, as I said, is getting your hands and feet dirty in some nasty water and some mud, that is long gone. You can conduct your agriculture, as I said, through the initiatives, modern day technology. You are as clean as possible, but you are producing the food to feed our people.
We need to take a couple of messages to take us up to the top. When we get back, we'll speak about the training that needs to go alongside this. And then, of course, we'll bridge the issue of tourism as well as we continue our discussion with the chair of the Sipai Regional Corporation, Dinesh Sankasing. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
4.5 minutes after 8. The final hour of our show here this morning. We continue our discussion with our special guest, Chair of the Sipari Regional Corporation, Dinesh Sankasing. You were talking about new ways of doing agriculture, and you were telling us about how you're going to get this done. So let's just say that there are people listening in to us this morning who want to get involved and have no idea whatsoever about any of the things that you're talking about, does that exclude them, or can people come in and be trained as to how to get this done and so on?
All right, so Satish, I'm glad you asked that question. Satish, as I said before, we are focusing on a new dimension of agriculture. So we want to get everybody who wants to be involved to get involved. We are not excluding anybody. Whether you see agriculture as a part-time hobby, or you see agriculture as a mainstay job to provide for your family, we want you to get involved. And it is in this regard, we have been looking at providing some training for our youth population, our adult population. Now, we have been working with training agencies. We have been talking to the schools in terms of their agricultural science initiatives. We have been looking at state agencies such as YTEP, the Youth Training for Employment Partnership Program, to train and equip individuals with the necessary skills to get involved. We also look at working with the NGOs. And Satish, let me tell you something. As I said before, we have a large migrant population within the Sipari Regional Corporation. We are even targeting the migrants and trying to equip them with the skills necessary to improve themselves, to provide for their family. So they have to harness their skills, their knowledge, whatever information they have. So as I said before, we are looking at the entire market. We are looking to provide training. We are looking to link them up to adequate funding. We are looking to find new technological resources that are necessary. And we are moving away from the traditional. Now, I'm not castigating, don't get me wrong, Satish. I am not castigating the traditional forms of agriculture, going outside and planting some bodhi and baigan. You know, I'm saying, if we want to look at agriculture from a new dimension, a new perspective, we have to utilize the resources that are available, and we have to utilize the new initiatives that can be used to equip people, and as I said, to empower people to make a living through agriculture, and not getting your hands dirty, but providing the services that would bring all the factors of production, land, labor, capital, enterprise, bringing it together so that we can produce a good or service. It is not only about building tall buildings or bringing in machinery or equipment. As I said before, we are looking at it from a technologically based, where the new initiatives, hydroponics, and a number of new initiatives that are in place to utilize it to equip our population.
Has this started already, or is there a specific date as to when you're going to start this project? Are people already within?
We have started. We have a committee at the Sipari Regional Corporation. We have started. As I said, we were stymied. We were held back by the COVID-19 restrictions, and we were not able to allow it to bloom. But as I said before, I know the local government is upon us. However, we have been taking the initiatives. We have been starting the projects. We have been getting involved with the groups. I have one of my counselors, Ramona, working hand in hand with me to empower and equip people to get involved, to bring together, as I said, all the different aspects that we spoke about, whether it be through financing, whether it be through bringing the actual knowledge of whatever different crop we want to do. We want to encourage people to get involved, because I say they may not be familiar with growing broccoli, but you know, we have been having a number of initiatives. And in the past, let me just quickly, in my first year in office as chairman, we were able to have something called a farmer's market. And in that farmer's market, we give local people an opportunity to produce and come and sell and see the commercial benefits of agriculture. And in the farmer's market, we were able to equip people with knowledge. We were able to join them with the technology, with the financial agencies. Subsequent to the farmer's market, we had what is called a Christmas village and a market fair, where we use this to stir economic activity in the community and the environs. So businesses that have had to close and were unable to pay their rent, but were left with a lot of unsold goods, we gave them an outlet. Come, sell, make some money, create economic activity. So the time to spread the cheer and close off the year that Christmas time was beneficial to all the people because they saw an opportunity in by which they can earn a living and provide for their families. So as I said before, we had the initiatives such as the Farmers Market and Agricultural Expo that has been taking place. I was in the middle of planning another one as we come up here before this election. We have had the Christmas villages in the past, and we have had the opportunity to equip our farmers. We are trying to streamline and utilize all the other basic resources, the banks, the commercial banks, the government lending agencies, and as I said before, even the high commissions and all the other people who can provide adequate funding or a grant, we are encouraging them and we are trying to marry them with the local farmers who want to, who can benefit from what they have to offer.
Yeah. Are people going to be allowed to plant whatever they want, or are they going to be advised as to, well, listen, we want you to plant this, we want you to plant that for whatever reason?
It's a combination of both, because of course, as I said before, the traditional crops still have a huge demand, because if you were to travel to New York in the morning and you walk through any one of those markets and you see what we call bhaji, or you see karaili, or you see okra, you understand? But then, as I said before, we want to encourage the new initiatives, and we want to see the new types of agriculture, whether it be broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts. There is a huge demand for this, and instead of spending those scarce foreign reserves to import these things, and we can produce it at a local level, Satish, we'd be meeting a local demand, and we would be saving the country and helping the country as well. So it's a combination of both. So I am not excluding anybody. We have to work together. We have to work as a team, and we have to combine our efforts to improve not only the Sapari and the people of Sapari, but all of Trinidad and Tobago. Satish, we have a beautiful island and a beautiful country, you know. However, we have, may not have had the benefit of this, of our resources, but now we have to take the initiative and help the people, empower them, and put the power in their hands and help them say, listen, agriculture is a way to go.
Yeah.
And Satish, I know our time is short this morning, but I know we spoke before the program. And another initiative that we have been looking at, Satish, is the tourism aspect of it. Now, Satish, I want to be bold-faced this morning. I know you have been to Sapari many times, and I know that you know Sapari is quite unique. Sapari has some of the most lucrative tourist attractions this country has. Satish, I am sure you have been to the Sapari Kemai celebrations. This is where the Catholic Church celebrates La Divina Pastora, the Blessed Saint of Sapari. And you know, Satish, La Divina Pastora holds the distinction of bringing all the major races and cultures together. You have Indians, you have Africans, you have Chinese, you have the Caucasians coming together. You have the Catholics, you have the Presbyterians, you have the Hindus, you have the Muslims coming together to celebrate La Divina Pastora. And this is a very unique event in Trinidad and Tobago. And I want to start by using these things to encourage tourism at an economic level. You would know also, Satish, Sapari is the home to a number of our national heroes, our sporting heroes. I don't have to even call names to you, but of course I want to take the initiative and say Giselle Salandi, you remember her? Her contribution? Ian Morris. Listen, I take pride in boasting. Marshall Montano is a Sapari boy, you know. Sapari family, born and bred Sapari. I say Sapari, it means Marshall. Daisy Vosse. You can't celebrate Christmas without hearing Daisy's beautiful voice. Parang is you could say Sapari is the home of Parang. Ellis Knights, Clive Zander. Now, even when you're talking steel pan, traditional steel pan, the Deltones, the Sapari rhythm section, the Diatonics, my good partner, the Diatonics, and my boy Sudama down the road. These are all steel bands for young people to be involved in, to move away from negative activities. So as I said before, we have a number of cultural heroes. We can be considered the cultural capital of Trinidad, you know. And when you stretch a little further outside of Sapari, you have one of the oldest historical sites in our island, and I dare say or this part of the world. You've heard of the Banwari Man? The Banwari Man was one of the oldest individuals that they have found. I believe it's about 5,000 years old. I may be right or wrong, but it's around 5,000. One of the oldest, that historical site is within the region of Siparia. I do not have to tell you, Satish, that the Pitch Lake, world-renowned, the Pitch Lake, it may have been sold off, but the Pitch Lake is traditionally Trinidadian and more so mainly under the Siparia Regional Corporation. So, I don't have to tell you, Satish, the mud volcanoes in Losiro. Have you ever been to it? And I want to encourage not only Trinidadians, but people throughout the world to visit our local mud volcanoes. It's an impressive sight to see mud spewing and coming up. And I've been there several. Well, now I have some limited walking ability, but when I could have been there, I ran up that to see those water mud volcanoes. It was an impressive sight. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Satish, when you come down to us, we have some of the most beautiful beaches. From Cedros, come right up to Queen Anne Bay, Losiro. Oh my gosh, Satish.
But how
when
are you
come and you walk in those beautiful waters, you don't want to leave.
Okay, but
Losiro, Irene, sorry?
Oh, those things exist. And you're trying now to harness their potential and turn it into the money generators, for want of a different term, employment and interest and all of these things. But how are you doing that? Is it that you're going to set up some kind of organization who will have the responsibility of promoting and setting up tours and charging people? Or are you going to leave that up to the private individual to say, well, all right, look, we have this thing here, or let's set up a little something and we can guide you accordingly? How are you going to monetize all of these things that you've spoken about?
All right, so I'm glad you asked that question. So Satish, we have been encouraging a combined approach. So it is not only under the auspices of the Siparia Regional Corporation, but we have been trying to get the private enterprise involved as well. And what one or two of the government agencies. And it is a combined approach to get everybody involved. And I'm not talking just in a general way, but we have been targeted, as I said before, we have had committees set up to encourage the private enterprise, especially because, you know, when it comes to the business of tourism, it is really the private enterprise and private initiatives that takes the lead. And as I said before, we are trying to build and encourage ecotourism using our natural gifts, talents, whatever we have. As I was mentioning before, bird watching. There is a huge clientele for people who likes to engage in bird watching, whether it be coming, going out to Labre, whether it going out to Losiro, whether it could be going out to Queen Anne, to get those, whether it be the foreigners coming and you see them with their binoculars, you see them standing up, you see them with their taking pictures. This is one of the initiatives. We want people to be able to utilize whatever scarce resources we have. And as I keep saying, it's a combined effort. It's a combined effort to get everybody involved. And we want to make sure that we can utilize the local resources. I can't say that enough, you understand? When you look at the flora, the fauna, if you sit in my veranda, where I live in Quarry Village, and you see the macaws flying across to the forested areas in the evening, and you see the toucans, it's an impressive sight. I am not one that advocates putting birds in cages, but when you sit in your natural environment and you see the beauty of our animals, our flora and our fauna, it is quite impressive. But I was telling you just now, Satish, so we have had some of the best entertainers come from Siparia. As I mentioned before, Daisy Vosa, the Parang Queen of Trinidad and Tobago, the Caribbean, and the world. You have had some of our local churches, the mosques, the mandir. And we have been using this to build, as I said before, the religious tourism. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, it is not making religion a papi show, you know, but it is using religion to encourage others to get involved. However you serve and worship your God is up to you. But I want them to know that we have some of the historical sites where we encourage religious celebrations. As I said before, you cannot get better than La Divina Pastora, the Blessed Saint of Separia, the Roman Catholic Church, the combining of the Hindu religion, the Presbyterian Church, and other areas. I want people to understand that we have a capital, we have a situation where we can use our natural gifts and talents to build Separia and encourage ecotourism. I cannot talk enough about our steel pan, our panyard. I cannot talk enough about encouraging our young people to get involved and harness their resources in a positive way. So we are looking now at starting these initiatives. And I said before, one of our steel pan movement in the area, the Delta and Ipan area, they have started something called Railway Pizza.
Okay.
So they are now providing pizza, and it is the most delicious pizza sausage that you will taste. Mm. And they are calling it Railway Pizza, and it's sold every evening, and you have to come patronize and get a taste of Separia. So why can't we get involved? Why we have to get our young people, like the Y Farm initiative, we have to get our young people trained and get them involved. So it's, you know, the not-for-profit organizations are beneficial to people. It's not about the individual putting money in their pocket, but empowering the people, equipping them, mm-hmm. and making them better prepared to face whatever challenges we are facing now.
Yes.
And as I said before, with the shutdown of Petrotrain and all the other contractors and businessmen, it's a sad day, Separia. However, we cannot sit by and just throw our hands in the air. We are looking at local initiatives to help build and return to Separia, to the pride and joy that was Trinidad and Tobago, and to the economic forefront.
That's
the Separia Regional Corporation under my chairmanship stands ready to assist, equip, empower, convene, bring together, and as I said, whether it be a Christmas village, a marketplace, we are taking the initiatives and doing whatever we want. So we have been encouraging as well, Satish, and you know, I know time is limited, but I just want to take up today. We have been encouraging the Know Your Country tours as well. So as I said before, and this was again taken by the Steel Pan Movement, you come to Separia and you get an entire package, steel pan involvement, tasting our local food, hearing some parang, going on the cedars, going on to the beaches. You can't get better than that.
Yeah.
Separia is the place to be at this time, Satish.
It's a lot of information that you've given us here this morning, but this is where we drop the curtains on the interview. For persons who would like to be more involved, to access some of the things that you're talking about, how can they do that? Who do they contact?
Satish, you can contact me at the Separia Regional Corporation, Dennis Sankasing, Chairman of Separia Regional Corporation. My phone number is 681-1984. Call me anytime. I'll put you in contact with any of the agencies, any of the burgesses, any of the institutions that you want to get in contact with, and we can make it available. As I said, we have a number of programs coming up. So call us, get involved, look at our website, and we will work together to rebuild, rebrand Separia, and put back the economic powerhouse into the hands of the people.
Yeah.
As I said, Sati, we are here to serve the people, serve the people, serve the people. And we do this through hard work and working with our people to empower them and put back power in their hands.
Yeah, we want to thank you this morning for being our special guest and giving us all this information. And we wish you best, all the best. And we hope that people take advantage of all that's available, all that you've spoken of this morning. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning.
Satish, thank you so much, and let me commend you. You have an excellent program. You have a wide population. Continue on your excellent work on your initiatives, and we continue to support you as well.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.